another episode of the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. I am Swarnabho, the host of this show, and this is a place, of course, where I get to have lovely conversations with people from the art world, and of course, you get to listen. If you enjoy listening to this episode, do consider subscribing to this podcast and do the amazing job of telling your friends about the show. You can also follow us on Instagram to stay updated on the upcoming episodes. The page name, of course, is Paper Pencil Podcast. Now, let me tell you all a short story. Okay, so it's around last year in 2022. Month is November. I was in Delhi. I woke up early and, you know, decided to go for a walk. So I took a quick auto to CP, Connaught Place, walked around the lanes and corridors of CP, you know, while people slowly open the shutters of their shops, office commuters running after buses, the warm sun rays, you know, filtering through the white pillars of CP, creating beautiful geometric shadows on the floor, on the ground, flocks of pigeon taking off, you get the picture. I was happily clicking photos when something blue caught my attention. All right, so these huge wall murals painted on the sides of the buildings, beautiful portraits of women who looked like actors from the Bollywood movies, you know, from the black and white era. So I took some pictures and posted them on my Instagram. Later that day, one of my followers sent me a DM with the artist's profile, the ones who had made these beautiful murals. After a few months, here we are in conversation with Delhi Street Art. Yogesh Saini is joining us today. He is the founder of DSA or Delhi Street Art. He started this in 2013. One of the first initiatives taken over by him was to convert all the 150 garbage bins of Lodhi Gardens into public canvases. Saini is an engineer and an MBA, so he's done it all, and had a career including corporate leadership stints in the US, Hong Kong, Taiwan, as well as a few ventures with technology startups in Silicon Valley. And now he spends his time adding life to otherwise lifeless walls. So Yogesh, welcome to the Paper Pencil Podcast. I'm glad we could do this today.
Thank you so much, Swar. Thanks for having me here.
So Yogesh, when I of course saw the beautiful murals that you had done in CP, of course they were breathtaking. They were something different altogether. Of course I have seen a lot of murals, but you know these were very, very different. And I then went through your whole gallery and I got to see the kind of work that you do, the kind of projects that you take up. Also something which I realized is I think you also I won't say hire, but you also take the support of a lot of local artists when you're doing these these projects as well. I would love to talk more about them, know more about them, know about the process as well. But you know, I think a great place to start off the conversation would be with your journey. Would be very interested to know, you know, how did this whole thing even start? Like, was it something which was there in your mind when you were a kid? Where did it all begin? So if you could just quickly take us through that.
Sure. I'll take you quickly because it has been a very interesting and a long journey. So.
Sure.
I don't think we have the time to cover it all.
We can.
Okay. I did have an interest in art right from childhood. And an aunt of mine who we were sharing home with used to give me chalk and let me pretty much draw my favorite subject, which was trains, all over the floor and indulge me.
Oh, nice.
I had access to some really, really interesting books. My mother had been a teacher all her life, and in her school, which was primarily Hindi medium, there were these three cupboards locked up and kept just as for special privilege, and I got the privilege to kind of open them and see them, and they had Enid Blyton books, beautifully illustrated, Noddy, right, and other books from that time. So it was a visual treat. So which would just, I think, fired up the imagination, and then went on to kind of finding time in my school days to sketch and make some little comic strips of my own inspired by the Famous Five and other kinds of similar adventures.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Famous Five. I remember reading that. I think Famous Five was one of the first few books that I consciously read. That and then Goosebumps was there. So I think these two were, the first few series that I was kind of really into back in school. But where were you growing up, Yogesh? Was it in Delhi?
It was in Delhi, yes. I had spent the first few years in Punjab where I was born. And then moved to Delhi and did most of my schooling and college in Delhi. So throughout that period, there was an inherent interest in art and creative endeavors, and it took a bit of a backseat for a few years when photography became kind of a more prominent passion. When I picked up my first cameras, and I started traveling a lot, taking lots of pictures. But again, I realized I was actually shooting a lot of creative stuff with my photographs as well. Anywhere I was traveling to. Artworks, sculptures, just interesting streets, which had a lot of character playoff, as you mentioned, light and shadow, as you saw at Connaught Place. A lot of black and white.
It's beautiful, right? In the morning, especially when the pillars cast their shadows on the floor, you do find a lot of patterns coming, especially with the floor interacting with the shadows as well.
Yes. And so this is kind of the stuff which I used to do a lot. I ended up having my own dark room. I ended up doing a lot of my own black and white photography development. I got lucky when I moved to the US to do my master's, to get a job in the audiovisual department, which gave me full access to, their dark room, their print shop, large enlargers, and of course the best cameras. So that that passion kind of came to the forefront and stayed with me, and it still is one of the leading things that I do, even on our art projects. Almost all the photography and visuals I capture, I try and kind of bring them to the fore on our Instagram and social media pages. It was only back about 2013, as you mentioned, when I had come back to India after several years of being overseas, that I kind of started finding something different to do. I'd been in the corporate space, I'd been an entrepreneur in the tech space, and done consulting and so on. And so repeating any of those wasn't as exciting. And ideas struck me while kind of going through my usual runs at Lodhi Gardens that why not do something in the public space? And I saw these garbage cans, which triggered that idea a little bit more, which were being replaced, but pretty much with a slightly newer version of the same old cans. And, Delhi and large parts of India, people tend to throw garbage in a lot of places except, in garbage cans. And many places you don't even find these garbage cans to throw it in. So it was like, okay, how do we draw people's attention to this and find something different to do? So that's where the idea germinated. It wasn't as an idea to create some sort of a movement or be some sort of a pioneer, but one thing led to another. We had a little bit of interest initially, not too many volunteers wanting to do stuff for free, not too many wanting to actually paint on dirty garbage cans, which we did get washed. But luckily for me and for what we do, the idea caught on very quickly, and thanks to both social media and print media, news got around, people started coming and volunteering. And what started out as just a small experimental project kind of mushroomed into a much larger movement, which has taken us across the country and even overseas. And we have worked with thousands and thousands of volunteers, artists, and very, very large numbers of people from different communities, be it in slums, in villages, in prisons, in schools, and night shelters, and pretty much any kind of spaces. A lot of our projects are not as much in the public eye as the one which caught your eye in Connaught Place, because many of them are hidden away in these alleys, in these small schools, inside the prison walls, working with the inmates and so on. So, but on the other hand, these are the most satisfying because you come out of those and you leave behind not just the imprint, which kind of we try to do, but hopefully a small legacy that people continue on once even after we are done.
Wow, Wow. So a lot of interesting things that you just mentioned. You know, I just quickly made my notes, Yogesh, while you spoke, because I would like to go back and ask you a few questions around that, because, again, a lot of interesting things. So before I actually get into the, you know, the Delhi street art part of your story, just probably backing up a little bit. So how was education for you? Like, I know you just mentioned that, you know, your mom was a teacher. You had access to a lot of these. So you had a little bit of an exposure, let's call it, right, to good art, to illustration, to probably create a taste, a flavor palette for yourself when it comes to good art, let's say. So were you like, you know, I know you said you went into photography, but was there a moment where you said, okay, you know, I think I want to do something related to the arts, maybe I'll go into a design school or something? Why engineering? So what was the story behind that?
Unlike today, where both opportunities as well as acceptance of a lot of different alternate careers, as they were called back then, is much higher. You know, back when I was kind of going to school and thinking about college, I did think about some institutes of design. I did have an interest in architecture quite a bit, which was the probably would have been my first choice had it not been engineering. And engineering happened to be kind of also partly a choice, which, you know, back then most parents wanted the kids to go either in the medical field, engineering field, or something like that. Right. Not even as much in the legal field. And, of course, and there were others who wanted people to get into government jobs. So it was kind of a choice which was the most, I would say, the least... least destructive choice for my creative self, and actually, I look back and I kind of feel good that I made that choice versus, let's say, going into a medical career, which I also explored, because being an engineer and studying to be an engineer, you turn out to be more of a solutions-driven person than just a technical person, and also you are constantly kind of trying to figure out how to solve problems or how to, you know, come up with, and I kind of consider myself right brain, so there's always a lot of wild imagination and ideas to implement. So the engineering part of it helped kind of give a little bit more of a structural foundation to some of those things. How do you even go about doing it? And now the kind of work we do with the, some of the murals, where there are challenges, both height, size, elements we have to deal with, and sometimes just, you know, technical solutions we need to come up with because none exists out of the box. That's where some of the...
So a lot of jugaad in that case, I would imagine.
There is a fair amount of that. And then I think what also helps is because I've seen a lot of things done maybe a little bit more systematically, a little bit more process-driven and oriented in my, you know, living overseas. So that kind of helps to try and do things a little bit more efficiently, a little bit more, I would say, creatively than one would otherwise.
Correct. And in fact, you know, Yogesh, when you mentioned that thing about, you know, your first project or the first thing that you undertook, the Lodhi Garden, the garbage can things, that project, you know, you did mention that your idea was not really, or your starting idea was not really to create something which is art or anything. Your idea was to bring attention or focus of the people towards those garbage cans, right? And that I see as a great example of, let's say, solving a problem through design, because that's what it exactly is, right? So I talk about design thinking, you know, in my day job all the time, and that's precisely what it is, that it need not be a very fancy or, you know, technologically advanced solution. It can be something very simple, but through design you are trying to, you know, nudge the public, nudge the people to kind of use these dustbin, or let's say, you know, you probably change the human behavior or the social behavior that way. So that's also solving a problem, correct?
Absolutely. And in fact, that was kind of the inspiration behind it, and then also continues to be the inspiration behind a lot of places where people are, you know, now there's a lot being written about both education, traffic management, and other areas where art is being applied as a solution,
right?
To, you know, be it designing 3D speed breakers on roads, or be it including curriculum in the schools where children are learning as they're walking around, as they're opening doors and windows, as they're standing against walls. So art is an enabling tool for a lot of these things, and it is there to send across a visual message, which sometimes has a much larger impact than any number of textbooks and class lectures and so on. I think we find that, and same thing we find when we work with different prisons and inmates. We have an ongoing program right now with the Kiran Bedi Foundation to both impart some creative skills as well as ways for the inmates, when they actually are done with their sentence, serving the sentence, that they can actually establish themselves with certain capabilities, and how do they monetize those capabilities to kind of make a living from it. So that's something which we've been doing for several years with inmates from different prisons, and now recently with the foundation, as I mentioned. And then we also have engaged inmates, ex-inmates, who have actually paid their dues and they've joined back as regular members of society, and some of them are part of our regular team right now.
Oh, nice. I would love to go into this as well. That's also something which I, quick dogma, marked up as well. So one more thing, and in fact, just to kind of go back to what you mentioned, that solving problem through art or through design. And like you said, sometimes it probably creates much larger impacts than how otherwise it would be. I can think of a very classic example, which is, I have seen it in so many places. I've read about it so much. And I'm sure you also know about this, Yogesh. The whole idea of a door, the push and pull of the door. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The push, that some doors you have to push and some sides you have to pull, right? And a lot of cases people get that wrong. And the fact that, it is something which can be easily solved through design. So the idea is, where you are supposed to pull, the side you're supposed to pull, that side of the door you create a handle.
Correct.
Which means that, yes, I can pull that, but on the side where you have to push it, you don't keep a handle. You just keep just a metal, a plate over there, which tells people that, okay, there is nothing to grab onto and pull. So this means it is push.
Yep.
And just that basic change in the design, just through that, and there is no need for text with pull and push and different languages, nothing required. And that's how beautiful that is, right? One more thing, before I actually again jump into the DSA bit. So I remember that you mentioned that, you went to the United States. You were there for a while. I know you mentioned that you were in the, or rather, in your introduction, I remember reading that, you were in the Silicon Valley for a while, where you do see a lot of, organizations, design institutes, maybe. One of my favorites, I'm sure maybe you have heard of it. It's called IDEO. IDEO.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's by Tom Kelly and his brother. So the idea is that David Kelly, right? So Dave Kelly and Tom Kelly, correct? So IDEO being like one of the bigger players in the Silicon Valley market, with a lot of, let's say, Apples and Xerox and so many other big organizations, plus smallers as well. My point is, do you think your exposure and your stay in those parts of the world where they do consider design or art as one of the ways to solve problem, do you think that would have probably led you to, that exposure would have led you to create your own templates, which you wanted to kind of come back to Delhi and apply and see if that works out? Do you think there was a connection over there?
There definitely was. There are a lot of things which one picks up along the way, and as long as you are open to observation and then absorbing and applying some of the things you've observed, and I've been fortunate to have been exposed to a lot of very good design, some very good solutions, and some very intelligent, creative people. One of my startups actually worked with some of the leading architectural design firms of the US. And, amazing creative people who are not just, full of ideas, but they can actually take ideas and then both put them on paper as well as turn into 3D models and kind of help you visualize it much better. So they are not just designing buildings, they're not just designing vehicles, but they're actually coming up with interesting new solutions. And what one of the things that always amazed me is that the tools that we use every day, the gadgets we use every day, the even small controls of our car, or let's say even devices like the phones, they are constantly undergoing change and improvement.
Of course.
And, you know, if someone says, well, you know, what's the need for that? I mean, we have these guys sitting on the roadside in India with a spade or with a, you know, hacksaw or with a hammer and a chisel and saying, they've been doing this forever, they can continue doing it the same way. Mm-hmm. And yet we have people filing patents for newer and better gadgets and designs every single day, finding solutions, newer solutions or more efficient solutions to existing problems, or in a few cases, finding solutions where maybe a problem is yet to be discovered. But that kind of keeps you, it's pretty exciting to be in a space like that where, you know, the level of creativity, not just, you know, design creativity, but also I would call it practically applicable creativity. It's just the exposure you get is tremendous, and it helps you kind of open up your ideas. So when I came back, I'm constantly looking for that, observing stuff. Okay, and in India, you know, we have a lot of jugar, we have a lot of makeshift arrangement, changes, but most of them are not meant to last long. They are really low cost, shortcut solutions.
Correct.
And so the scope for actually probably doing something in that space, which is longer lasting and has bigger impact, is huge. And I do see things happening in there. And same way as street art has grown so much in the last 10 years since we got started, I think a lot of good, better designs, better capabilities and skills seem to be coming into many other aspects of day-to-day life as well.
True. And you do see that. Like, I'll tell you something, like, you know, something as simple as urban plan, not simple, I would say, it's not simple, urban planning, which is, of course, very, very complicated, but something that, you know, touches our lives every day, which is urban planning, you slowly do see things are changing quite a lot, especially, you know, at least I'm talking about India, you know, the cities and the places where, you know, they're probably looking at things in a different way. You know, I was, of course, like I mentioned, you know, I was Delhi, for that matter. Let's take Delhi as a case study over here. If I compare, let's say, Delhi to a lot of other cities in India which has a metro, of course a lot of cities now have a metro, but I think, you know, the smaller aspects of design that I saw, because, you know, I told you, right, last year I went to Delhi after a long time. I'm not that acquainted with Delhi, and of course, you know, traveling by metro alone for me is a little bit of an experience, because of course I'm new to the whole thing. But, you know, when I looked at the overall thing, I saw that, okay, you know, how do people actually engage or interact with this whole system of metro? I did realize there are these small stickers on the floor, something over there, something over here, which is actually nudging people in the right direction and allowing for a certain behavior which you are expecting out of the larger group of people as well. You know, I remember going to Bangkok a few years ago for work, and over there also I saw very similar things in their metro stations as well. Very simple things such as stickers, right? Yeah. But those stickers actually kind of help you understand which side to go, where to do, and what not to do, right? So I think those are great examples, of course. Makes sense. And for the listeners, if you are interested, just like a book suggestion, of course, this book has been, you know, beaten to death. Like, so many people have spoken about that. But in case you are interested in design, there's one book called Design in Everyday Things. I forget who the author is. And the second would be my favorite, Change by Design. It's a red book written by Tim Brown. It's about design thinking, yes. But you'll get to know a lot of things about, you know, solving problems through design. So Design of Everyday Things and Change by Design is what I would highly, highly suggest, right? Okay, so Yogesh, coming back now finally to your, you know, DSA, tell me this, so what is DSA today? So Delhi Street Art, is that an organization? Is that a not-for-profit? What exactly is it on paper? How would you define it on paper? Then we'll go into the, you know, what you guys do and what exactly DSA is. So if you can help me understand that.
Yeah, so DSA is registered as a corporation. It's a proprietorship. We call ourselves a social organization. We are not a non-profit. Mm-hmm. We're not an NGO. I have always believed in being self-sufficient financially, right from my college days.
Of course.
I So we don't really go out there seeking funds. So we actually do get, obviously, since the last, we've been in this now for nearly a decade, we do get a lot
almost
of...
Almost 10, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, corporate and, you know, large NGOs and others who would like to work with us on a commission basis. And then we manage that so that once we have met the needs of paying our team, our artists, and everybody else, to funnel a lot of those funds into the social causes that we engage with, education being a big one. Of course, like I mentioned, the slum community and others. So we take on projects very often which are not funded by anyone at all, not even not a paint company, not a sponsor, not a corporate one. We've done this right from the early days, and we continue to do so. And probably sometimes I feel it is a more of our involvement and engagement in that space than sometimes even a non-profit would do. For example, we conduct events, open events, which we send invitations for to our 2,000 plus artists and volunteers signed up for us. And everything we provide for them, the art materials, the location, the snacks, whatever, it is literally, many people ask, what do we have to pay for this? And we don't charge for that. We are public spaces which catch our eye, and we feel that we should contribute to making this more interesting, more colorful, lively space. And we take that on. Most recently, we took on the pillars of Moolchand Flyover. The second time around, we've done this back in 2017. And again, as a cleanup campaign to remove the posters and then to bring in a lot of volunteers to colorfully, you know, make it nicer. And this time around, we actually invested a lot more time with, you know, professional artists, and we were there in the midst of coldest of Delhi days, and we created this artwork. Like I said, absolutely self-funded from our end. And so that is what DSA really, I would say, excels in. And the people who come join us, they understand and they come with the spirit that when we are volunteering, when we are doing stuff in the public space with and for the community, that they are very enthusiastic to be a part of it. And they, you know, literally if you announce something a night before, you will easily get a large number of people volunteering and showing up next morning. And that makes it very exciting and rewarding as well.
Of course. Like, you, to know that you're not alone and you have this whole support from, you know, a larger community. And I think that makes sense also, right? Because I think, you know, if I look at it from a business model, like you said, you have been, you know, you have been into this habit of being self-sufficient from a very early time. I think that makes sense, right? Like, you are doing these things for commission basis to kind of, you know, help you fund your other projects that are probably, I would imagine a little closer to heart, because they are kind of, you know, from within. And it's probably not, you know, I don't know, if not, it's not directed by somebody else. I think it's a very self-directed thing that you're doing. So probably that kind of helps balance it out and makes everybody happy, and at the end of the day, you know, in corporate language, a win-win situation.
Yes, perfect.
So okay, so, you know, let me finally get into the DSA bit. Let me ask you about this. So I know the first one that you mentioned was, you know, the Lodhi Gardens thing. Tell me, how does it go? Like, what is the process like? Let's say the Lodhi Gardens thing that you did in 2013, did you have to, like, go and take permissions from somebody? Take me through the whole, you know, the life cycle. How does it really work out? Do you really go and ask permission? What really happens? Then, you know, gathering everything. Mm-hmm. So just take me through the whole process if possible.
Sure, yeah. So definitely there's permission involved in it, which is what, I guess, identifies street art as we know today, both in India and overseas. It is... basically artwork that you're doing, which is not necessarily does not necessarily come under the, you know, criteria of vandalism or creating artworks which could be then cleaned up by the authorities because you didn't have the, you know, the right approvals in place. We have done some cleanup campaigns on our own in the past, and they've sometimes been received well, and they've sometimes been not received too well by certain authorities. But generally speaking, we do go about getting permissions, as we did back in Lodhi Gardens. I actually had no idea who the garden came under, which agency, whom to contact, and I literally through the net and on the phone just called a few people and then landed up at the offices of NDMC, which was the agency or the municipal corporation responsible for the gardens. And I was pretty much told point blank initially by people like, oh, you can't do anything in the garden, you're not allowed to. And then just talking to people, you kind of find someone who's you know, open to the idea and open to experimentation, and they literally uproot it to garbage cans and send them to my house saying, okay, paint these, we'll see how they look, and then we'll decide. With the garbage still inside them, and once they were shown to the superiors, they were like more than happy, and the thing got around. Of course, we've come a long way since then, as an old ad campaign used to say. And now the awareness is very high with all the city agencies, all the municipal corporations, with the metro corporation, with the railways, with pretty much every, I would say, governmental and non-governmental department. So much so that back in the early days, we had to find out which agency to talk to. Now the agencies come seeking us out from across the country. And about 3 years ago, we were invited by the Allahabad Kumbh Mela Association, which now is Prayagraj. And we actually ended up painting over 200 walls in 3 months. So the value of street art, the recognition of street art as a way to both beautify as well as engage local artists and other communities is very well understood now by, I would say, people across the spectrum. So there are a lot of young bureaucrats who will become, you know, deputy commissioners or DCP police and in different roles. And they're all very much familiar with it. And the net and with social media, they're constantly exposed to what's happening across the world, and now a lot in our country as well. So they and then they all talk to each other, you know. So I very often we have, oh, so and so said you worked with them and did great works in this location. So the referrals are common. So I think we have a situation now, not only in Delhi but across the country, I would say, where people looking to get into, you know, public projects, street art projects, street beautification projects, or, you know, 3D artworks, murals, sculptures. It's I feel it's a kind of a mini revolution happening in that space. And every city, especially under the smart city projects and every other projects, is seeing this as a ways of engaging creative minds to kind of help them, you know, make their spaces more interesting, more inviting. And that's I would say we are even further ahead than most Western countries, because they've been doing this for a long time, for decades. And it's still a very cumbersome process getting all the permissions and following all the rules. Agencies will give you the space, they will give you the permissions, and they will pay you at the right with the right agencies to come help make their, you know, spaces nicer.
That's really nice. You know, this kind of takes me back. You know, the same visit to Delhi last year when I actually came across your work. I one of my friends, she actually took me to Lodhi Art District, right? And she said that, you know, Swara, you need to come because I know you like it a lot. And again, one of the next morning, I feel that was really the next morning, I found myself earlier, I think at 7 o'clock in the morning, in Lodhi Art District, you know, walking around empty streets and everything, right? And looking at these things. And I really noticed, so I on Instagram, when I saw Lodi Art District, you know, I really thought maybe, okay, this was a very separate sort of an area where, you know, probably not residential. My idea about the area, the locality was very different. But when I actually went there, I realized that these are probably quarters of some government agency. I'm not sure which one, but I'm sure it's quarters, and that there are families living there. There are kids growing up in those areas. And, you know, one thing which I really thought of, Yogesh, that morning was that, you know, imagine a kid who's growing up in that part of the city, right? And maybe he or she does not have exposure to art at all. Maybe, you know, they're watching cartoons for that matter, but not great exposure to art. Probably for that kid to be growing up in that environment, looking at these artworks, murals every day, I felt that somewhere there would be a change in the journey of this little kid who probably would grow up one day and may want to pursue something, like you mentioned, in the alternate careers per se, and probably create some sort of a difference. So, you know, that just that thought made me very happy. Do you think that may happen?
It is happening. I think we see it happening all the time. There is a school that we have adopted for the last 5 or so years. And it's again in the heart of Delhi. Next time when you visit, let me know. We'll take you on a quick tour.
Done.
And
done.
Over the years, we've been adding. You know, we were invited firstly by the principal of the school, who happened to see some newspaper article about what we do. Mm-hmm. And she said, can you help? It's a government-aided school. We don't have many funds, so we can't really pay you, but we can give you the space to explore your skills. And what a lovely relationship it's been with them, because we have added different murals, different artworks by both local and some visiting international artists over the years. We hold our annual, Foundation Day celebrations over there each year as well. Mm-hmm. And this is a primary, from a primary to secondary school. It is a boys' school, right, but it's a 100-year-old plus school. And kids every day, they're running, screaming, shouting, playing through these painted corridors,
right,
and spaces, right, all over. And every few weeks, there may be a new thing that we've added. Suddenly, so their engagement with that, we get to see when I see comments on our Instagram saying, oh my God, I wish you had done this when I was studying in the school. This is so amazing. Recently, we did a cleanup campaign in the school. Mm. We noticed this natural drain, which had been used as a dumping ground for garbage. And one of the reasons, interestingly, was that they did not have any waste collection and disposal system set up for the school, because it's a government-aided school. While it comes under the Central Delhi jurisdiction, but the school does not have access for any cleaning trucks or anyone to come inside. It's a little bit higher from the road, and the gates don't allow any trucks to come in. So they were just happily just dumping everything there. So we actually had approached the Embassy of Netherlands to see if they were interested in partnering on this, and they did join us. Not only the embassy staff came in, we had over 100 students and volunteers from another NGO who came with a huge amount of enthusiasm to collect and clean the garbage out of this, and then literally formed a human chain to pass all these bags to the gate, where the trucks were loaded up and this was taken out. So we must have had loaded up half a dozen trucks. So much stuff came out of
half
that.
Half a dozen, wow.
Yeah, just a huge amount of garbage had been collected. But the best part of all that was, this was not just a one-time activity. All the school, since it had not even bought any garbage disposal bags, they requested us to leave those bags behind once they were emptied out. And on my recent visits, I find all the garbage is being filled in those bags and is being kept outside the gate. And now the local, the municipal agencies are coming with their vehicles and picking it up. So it's actually brought about, hopefully, a sustainable
change.
And the kids were very much part of it. You know, some of the teachers were part of it. So it's any of these things that happens besides, so it's, as you were mentioning, kids are exposed to artwork every day. Here they are exposed to not just artwork, but a much cleaner environment now.
That's right.
Anyone visiting the school, an alumni or someone, can will probably notice the perceptible change that's happened over the years.
That's beautiful, Yogesh. That's beautiful. And the fact that, you know, like you mentioned, because I was going to ask you this question immediately, that, you know, like, okay, this was a one-time thing. Probably you, of course, collected 100 years worth of garbage that day and loaded those 6 trucks. But is that sustainable? And like what you mentioned, probably that was the impetus, that was the inspiration for a lot of these. I'm sure a lot of these kids also may have gone back home and told about this. And, you know, that probably created a whole chain reaction right there, a domino effect right there, where, you know, probably they went and cleaned up you know, their own environment back home as well. So I think that's a brilliant story you shared with me. Thank you. So, you know, I think continuing on that, so, you know, probably just go back if we may, you know, that again, I'm very much interested because, you know, I'm very curious about that Lodhi Garden thing that you mentioned, right? The garbage bin thing. I'm very curious to know how your first conversation was with the authorities when, you know, a random person comes up and says, hey, you know what, I would like to paint your garbage can. How was that conversation? Like, how did you start? I know you said you point blank, you just went at it. But what was the reaction from the other side? Like, I you know, this is movie stuff, Yogesh. What you're telling me is literally something that can be used to create a movie probably. But yeah, go for it.
I actually, so the first thing I did before I called them was I'd taken pictures of the garbage cans and I downloaded some just random, you know, kind of abstract designs, and I superimposed them on that, and I put them on my phone.
Nice.
And then I found out this is the agency, so I just started calling general agency numbers, and finally they put me through to one office, I remember, and this lady on the other end said, sorry, you know, you can't do anything at the garden, it's not allowed. I said, ma'am, I just want to show you what I have in mind. Why don't you take a look? And then you let me know if it's possible. She says, yeah, okay. Why don't you come here someday and then, you know, show us what you have in mind. So I said, okay, good. She's open to it.
Yeah.
45 minutes later, I was at the office. And so she looked at me and she said, who are you? I said, we just spoke. She says, "You." And I said, you mentioned that I could come show you. She said, what? You already here? I mean, you know, in her mind, she's thinking like, it's the usual brush off. Like, yeah, come show us sometime. We'll think about it.
Yeah.
And so she was almost, I could see the shock on her face. Like, this, who's this, you know, absolute nutcase.
And you were like, loha garam hai. I think you went with the mindset that loha garam hai, maarte abhi. This is my opportunity.
Exactly. So she talked to a couple of colleagues.
Okay, and then.
You know, almost kind of trying to figure out what the hell to do with this guy. I mean, how... what should we and then so they talk to each other, says who should we send him. She just wanted to palm me off somebody who would, you know, take the trouble of talking to me.
Yogesh, you know, sorry to cut you again, you know, this totally reminds me, I think you will also relate to this, you know, when I was a kid, I'm talking about, you know, late 1990s, early 2000s, when, you know, I used to watch a lot of TV, there was this one show, there was a show called Office, where, you know, there was this one character called Musaddi Lal, who used to go to these government offices, and, you know, he used to get, like, you know, thrown off from one side to the, I can imagine you as Musaddi Lal in this, going and saying, okay, I want to paint these cars. Garbage cans. Okay, then what happens?
so she finally, there was this one gentleman who she said that, okay, he's in the projects department, maybe you should go talk to him. And you know, I went up to the, you know, it was a different floor, I went up there, and by the time I reached there, there were about 5 people sitting and waiting, and then he wasn't there, and then I was told he's just gone for a meeting with the chairman or someone. So I had to wait for a while. By the time he came back, then he was like talking, he looks at me like, yeah, what do you want? I'm like, I have an idea I want to discuss with you. And so he says, what? Okay, wait, let me finish with these guys. And then by the time he finished and I spoke to him, so he's like, oh, good. So I found another, as I say, mere jaisa pagal ek aur mil gaya mereko.
Oh, nice.
Turns out he was also an engineer, from Vince Pilani, and he was heading up projects, and he says, you know, he liked the idea. He said, but he was still, you know, more than shocked about me just landing up at NDMC. That fact that, why the hell did you give up your career in the US? People here are dying to go overseas, and you just left all that and came back here, and now you want to paint garbage cans. I mean, you must have some screws loose somewhere. And, so anyway, but the good news was that since he had the ear of the chairman, he was the one who then, we had a long conversation. I remember I was there till quite late. It was way after the office hours. And, you know, we were talking about just about all kinds of things under the sun. Mm-hmm. And then that was the kind of the starting point. And I guess I was at the right place at the right time. And I happened to meet the right kind of person who was empathetic to and open to, you know, my crazy idea. And, but then, you know, that's where it kind of started. And that's, in many of those earlier conversations, it used to be something similar where we had to go and kind of find someone. We literally, I mean, very recent, and some things haven't changed. I mean, you mentioned you're in Bangalore. And I had an assignment just a couple of months back. And unfortunately, the time was very tight to find a location where we could paint this mural for the partnership we had with the Dutch embassy. And we had artists visiting from Netherlands. And we had a tight schedule to paint in Mumbai, Bangalore, and then Delhi. And I literally landed up 2 days before the artist. And the people who had contacted to look for the space had not been able to find something. So I literally started walking around, finding walls, and then trying to find people to talk to. And eventually that's how it led me to the building owner of the building in Church Street that we painted. And it turned out to be such a lovely gentleman who himself is very much into art. His name is Naresh Narasimhan. You may have heard of him. He also runs an architectural design firm in Bangalore. Lovely gentleman. And initially, again, he was a bit skeptical, like, where did this guy land up from and what's he trying to do? Amongst the 20 or so different people I tried to reach out to or talk to, including people at Hard Rock Cafe and all kinds of other places, he came through. And I just thought of that and I said, oh my God, it's almost 10 years and I'm almost doing the exact same thing I did when I started out.
So for the listeners, if you are in Bangalore, because I know in Bangalore I have a bunch of listeners, I think you guys would know this. So, you know, before the recording, I was asking Yogesh where this mural was in Bangalore. So if you guys are in Church Street, I'm sure a lot of you would know Church Street, the social building at the corner opposite Koshi's. I'm guessing a lot of you may know this already. You know, there used to be this one mural over there of a black cat with a really long, I think, torso, if I remember correctly. And, you know, the eyes were glowing. Yogesh, you said you painted on that wall, right? On top of that, is that correct?
No, we have not painted on top of that work. We try and typically never ever paint another artist's works. But it's on a wall which is at 90 degrees to that wall, which is near the entrance to the building. And it's that wall faces,
so towards the street.
Not a wall. It's technically a shutter. It's a shutter. A couple of shutters.
It's on the street, right? So it's facing the street. Yeah, exactly. So I think the cat was in a slight alleyway, if I'm not wrong, like to the right. What you're saying is right on the shutter on the main street. And he sent me a photo. I think that's, if I may share, Yogesh, it's of a lion, right? It's a blue lion and blue and orange sort of a mix. Very complementary colors that way.
Right.
Perfect, perfect. So, yeah, for Bangaloreans, if you are there, you know who has done that one. And, you know, that's where, okay, let me take it there then, Yogesh, you know, because I'm very fascinated by your process. And I'll tell you why, okay? For me, doing a mural has been like one of my dreams. It's like a bucket list thing which has been there for a while. And, you know, I've thought of doing that. But then I've never gotten around to, you know, let's call it this way. I did not have the guts for two things. Okay. One is, let's say, doing an artwork that is so large. I don't know. Probably that scale, it scares me. Second is, you know, this whole awkward conversation of, hey, listen, I want to paint your wall. Would you please give me your property to paint on? Right. I think right. That for me, these two have been my barriers. All right. So I'll tell you what. So since I'm talking to you, the next time you're in Bangalore and you're doing something, please do let me know. I'll come and help you. So, you know, at least one part of my bucket list would be kind of ticked off. So that way I can, you know, I can absolutely place the gun on your shoulder and I can press the trigger. But coming back, so let's say when you are painting a wall, so, you know, I'd probably come to the process. I'm just thinking, should I dive into the process first or ask you a little more about your project? So I'm in a dilemma around that. Let me ask you, which one would you like to talk about first? More about your projects or the process of your execution?
I think we can talk about some of the interesting projects, some of the very...
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. So, let's go for that, mm-hmm. Right? So, tell me first. So, I have a few things that I want to ask you around projects. So, tell me about this prison thing that you're talking. That sounds very unconventional and interesting to me. Let's explore that a little more. The work that you mm-hmm. do with the prison.
So, the most recent work, like I mentioned earlier, is with the Kiran Bedi Foundation, where the foundation mm-hmm. is basically trying to impart different sets of skills to inmates in different prisons. We've already done a 6 weeks long thing in one of the prisons near Gurgaon on the outskirts of Delhi, and now we are just starting mm-hmm. out the second 6 to 7 week training workshop in a prison which is in Faridabad, and then we may go on to Ghaziabad and potentially a few other cities outside of Delhi as well. Not only mm-hmm. are we conducting these are 1 day a week kind of workshops where our team goes there and, you know, goes through a certain curriculum that we have agreed upon with these people, starts out with sketching mm-hmm. and goes on to drawing, and then eventually ends up with painting a mural on the wall, which they are involved with both designing and painting within the prison confines.
Right.
This is kind of the most recent of our engagement. Our earlier engagements have been, there was a brand new prison back in 2015-16 called the Mandoli Jail, which had not yet been even inhabited, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the deputy general of the prisons at that time reached out again through somebody's connection and said, I want to create Madhubani artwork on the outside of jail walls, but inside mm-hmm. the compound. When we went into the prison, we started engaging with almost, I would say, I think about 10 to 15 inmates to paint the insides of the wall with them. When we left, they continued what we had started and took it much further into their what's called the, you know, the chakkar, in which they have different rooms, skill rooms, the yoga and skill training and so on. And they extended it much beyond into the inner spaces. So like that, we have worked with different locations, different prisons, different ideas and themes. There's one entire prison we worked with the Gandhi Smriti Foundation, where Gandhi's life, both from childhood to his young adult days and to later on his, you know, Quit India movement and all the other things mm-hmm. were depicted in different floors and different themes across the entire prison, along with folks who were incarcerated in the prison.
This actually took me back to, I think, a documentary that I'd seen. I don't remember where, okay. Where I think there was this one lady who was actually doing something similar, not with art, of course. I think she was also working with a bunch of these prisons and, you know, with the inmates to I think she was getting them into reading, if I'm not wrong. So basically, you know, she was in this whole journey of creating a library inside one of the prisons, you know, library with a lot of, I would say, more of the recent books. And you, she was probably getting into, like, you know, starting off a book club or a reading club sort of a thing inside this prison, where one was, of course, you know, to give them, I would say, a break from the regular day in the life of in the prison. But also, you know, I would say, you know, trying to kind of give them a different perspective towards the thing, or, you know, building a point of view and a whole, and just as to probably get into a hobby. So, you know, that kind of reminds me of that. Interested to ask you, Yogesh, I remember you mentioned at the beginning of your story that when you were a kid, you know, your grandmother, I think, used to give you chalk and you could draw whatever you want on the floor, right? Have you been, I know you've done murals on the wall, of course, but any mural on the floor or on the pavement or something that you could do, which I think, you know, will kind of complete the loop for me, complete the circle for me?
We have, in fact, we've painted quite a bit on floors, including at the school that I mentioned in Delhi, along with many different volunteer artists. We painted a lot of the, all of the Delhi's 3D zebra crossings were designed and painted by us. And they were, they in fact inspired a city in Finland to take that example and try out something similar over there. And the Boston Globe carried a story on that a few years back.
Oh, nice.
So we painted different kinds of ground surfaces, I would say, including play areas for kids inside some of the night shelters where we painted, you know, they can do hop, skip, jump kind of games, or maze on the floors and so on. So, nice. Yeah, and we've done ceilings too, just in case you're wondering, in places.
But so, yeah, all walls, the planes, all the planes inside.
Yeah, yeah. Not only walls, you know, we actually painted one of the first diesel locomotives that was manufactured in India, which now is at the National Rail Museum. So, we had painted,
I've seen that. It's in the National Museum. It's a, I think when you enter, it's on the left side, correct? It's, there's like a platform, if I'm not wrong.
And it was on the left side. Correct?
Yeah, yeah. So you know, the same trip. Yeah, yeah. Right, so the same trip, Yogesh, you know, where I went to Delhi in November, you know, I saw all of this, you know, the story starts off. I was in fact there for an event which was happening at the Indian Rail Museum. And in fact, my event was happening right in front of that engine.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I was there. Wow, that's
fantastic.
That's quite interesting.
Then,
Yeah.
And then about many years ago, we actually painted with one of the local city malls. We painted old, dilapidated army trucks and jeeps for Kargil Day with themes of Kargil War, and they were displayed for almost a month outside. So, as they say, planes, trains, and automobiles, we've kind of been there. So,
That's pretty good. That's pretty interesting. Tell me, okay, so one thing that you mentioned, I actually don't know about that. So, this 3D zebra crossing that you said, what is it exactly?
So, you're not actually creating a barrier on the road. Because obviously that would not work with the traffic.
Of course.
What one creates is a visual. What should I say? It's not a mirage, but it's a visual. It's a 3D look-alike. It feels like you're actually looking at a 3D obstruction on the road at the zebra crossing, especially when people are walking over it. They look like floating. You know, blocks of the white strips that you normally see on a zebra crossing, and they have a depth to it. So the idea is that when a motorist is arriving, and because these are zebra crossing and because a lot of our vehicles are going fast and not looking out for the pedestrians, they become a little bit more noticeable from a distance, so people slow down. It helps with the safety of the people kind of trying to cross over the road, and
that's
generally brilliant. Helps in slowing down the traffic a little bit. Over time, of course, they wear out and people get more used to it, and then they so it becomes mixed success.
Full signature,
yeah, exactly. So Delhi experimented with that quite a bit, and all over India Gate and central parts of Delhi for about a year, and then We've done a few similar projects in a few other cities as well, and most recently we did those in Gurgaon with a prominent car manufacturer as part of brightening up
the sponsor,
the Gurgaon Road. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did. So while you were talking, I just did Google up 3D zebra crossing. I think I get what you mean. Like, basically, you're adding a shadow under the thing to kind of give it like the fact that, you know, the white pieces are floating. And if I'm driving, right, maybe if I suddenly notice, I'll be like, oh my God, what is it? And that would cause me to slow down. That dissonance that it creates when you're looking at it for the first time. That's very interesting. Okay. Another story I actually want to hear from you, and you know, that's where our story starts off as well. The Connaught Place, the CP, those murals, you know. And I remember that morning when I first saw it, one, of course, you know, I took photos of it, and then I realized it was a hot spot for a lot of up and coming models and, you know, model photographers who were just there with a bag full of clothes changing and, you know, getting shot right in front of those walls. So tell me about these I think there were three or four, if I'm not wrong. I think three. What was the story?
Three.
How did it come across? And three. So how did it come across, and why blue? That was very interesting for me. Why blue?
So the story behind that is we had been working for a few months with the Embassy of Israel to celebrate India-Israel, both diplomatic and cultural relations over the years. I had actually painted this wall with our team back in 2015 when that was the first time someone had actually painted on it, and we got permission for that. And we had depicted what was then became a very catchy artwork as well, a woman flying atop an eagle.
Oh.
And the two shutters that are on the sides were painted like bird cages, which the bird had broken out of, and the other birds were following out. And that was a very, very popular location for photographs back then. And then over the years, it kind of wore out and got dilapidated. And then when the Embassy of Israel and we were discussing locations and designs and murals. So initially, it was their idea that they were, in fact, a lot of Indo-Jewish connections from nearly 100 years ago, where the early days of movie industry, especially the Bollywood industry, there were very few Indian actresses or women who were acting in movies. And then there were these very prominent women who were of Jewish descent, and they actually started to take on roles in movies when both in the black and white era, and then eventually leading up to the time when the colored movies started being made. And prominent amongst these were the three women that we decided to depict, Pramila, Nadira, and Sulochana over there. And each of them has a very interesting story. And the more I read about them, the more interesting it seemed, like how they were able to accomplish and break the glass ceiling way back when even the term glass ceiling probably didn't exist.
Right.
And some of them went on to become very successful businesswomen. And of course, Nadira was the one who we know more about, because he continued to act in the movies in the 60s and 70s as well. So that was kind of the connection, that these were families of Jewish descent who had settled in India. They had taken on Indian names, and they had ventured into a new space and were the pioneers, so to speak. So we decided to depict them. Now the question was, how do we depict them? And so we kind of did some research on the 30s and 40s, and Art Deco was very much something that was in vogue at that time.
Right.
So the entire design around the actresses was, the idea of it was to give it a theatrical look, and the theatrical space, we gave it a Art Deco style design.
Yeah, I do see the blue, the borders. It's very Art Deco, right? The borders are very Art Deco, correct.
And then the blue really was my idea, because I figured, you know, Connaught Place was, as you know, is generally white. This is the only white building you can legitimately paint on in Connaught Place. Others are mostly heritage white buildings. We, of course, had permission to do it. And, you know, there's a the blue color also is a strong representative of the flag of Israel, as well as kind of, it's also, when you think about the past, when you're reminiscing and then you're looking at things, and you're looking at kind of the twilight years, or so to speak, or the early year, maybe the dawn. And the
twilight,
kind of the,
yeah,
it's both of those things that we can call it the dawn of the industry or the, so there was a lot of elements which came together to say that seemed like the right kind of color, and we didn't really want to have too many other tones clashing with it.
Mm-hmm.
That it had to give a vintage kind of weathered look from a period gone by. And so that's kind of where that mural and its you know, story came about to be.
Right. So I'll tell you this, like you mentioned, the last thing that you were talking about, you know, this is one thing I've actually gone through your, you know, Instagram a whole bunch of times and looked at, you know, the different things that you have done across the country. One thing that I constantly see is, you know, your illustrations, your murals are very realistic, like photorealism almost to an extent. Of course, there are a few stylized, you know, things that I have seen that you have done, and, you know, a few very graffiti-like things that also you have done. But apart from that, I see a lot of, you know, realism coming into the whole thing, like in a lot of the portraits, especially that you do. Who designs these? And one, that's one, who designs these? And second, how do you manage to do all of this at such a huge scale? Like, how do you go about doing the outline? Because I would imagine, you know, if I have to do like that, I would never be able to, because I know for a fact I will mess it up somewhere, you know, that fear, that hurdle inside me would be there. How do you guys manage to, you know, pull off such beautiful, intricate, realistic artwork, you know, on these large walls in that case?
So the designs, so I lead the design efforts for us. We have a couple of designers on our team, and then we engage, sometimes we engage freelance designers from different areas, depending on what theme we're picking up. I remember we were working for the Kumbh Mela, and I had come across the designs of this Indian origin designer based in UK, and we kind of requested if we could use a couple of his designs, and then he had agreed. So the ideations can come from different spaces, but the curation of the actual thing, or even the actual designing of a lot of the stuff, including this one, the thought was that because you look at the building, you look at the space, and how do you place, for example, we had three actresses, and we actually could have, we had five different spaces on this building. So, and then you also were planning to do a launch event, so we had to decide which of the portraits should be where, so that you know, who should we give the most prominence to as part of the launch itself. So a lot of these things go into the spatial design of the mural as well, as to which elements should go where. Then we have a few really good creative designers. One of them, she's you know, not Indian, but she's very much Indian at heart, and she does an amazing job of putting together the entire stylized design that you see on this particular mural in Connaught Place, which is the Art Deco components and the embellishments that you see in it. And she's a perfectionist. I mean, the color has to be just right. Once she saw the design, she said, I know which color this needs to be. So that's how the design kind of comes about to be. And then as far as going back to how does one get... So we really have a very talented team of artists who now been doing these artworks, large murals, portraits, almost, I would say, not realistic, but close to realistic look. We don't go for the absolute photorealistic kind of portrait work, but there are a lot of artists out there who do that. And then there are tools that you use. You know, there are ways you can grid your artwork onto a wall as to how, so you divide up your space into a grid and then you divide up your design into the similar grid and then you kind of sketch it out according to the grid elements then you obviously, you know, keep on looking at it as it progresses and months, see when it's done, to see if there are things you need to tweak with that. And it's like anything else, it's an acquired skill over time. With experience, you get better. You kind of make your mistakes along the way, and there's always someone who's got an eye for, okay, you know what, this person just does not look right. Maybe it's the nose, maybe it's the lips, maybe it's the eyes. And then you kind of look at it from a critical point of view and make corrections. Not everything comes out perfect the first time around. It sometimes needs a few iterations to get the right look, and to, you know, to, so that people, when they see it, they instantly should be able to relate to it, even if it's an unknown person that not very well known in a pop cultural sense.
Like I could do, like, let's say, you know, when I saw the CP one, the Connaught Place one, I could understand, because of course I did not know who they were, but I could understand that, you know, they look like somebody I would have seen, let's say, in, you know, those really, really old movies, the black and white ones for that matter. And that message came through really quickly for me. I didn't even have to think about that. So I would say, you know, and I have to say this, Yogesh, you and your, you know, to your team of artists, you guys are very skilled. Like, the things that you guys are pulling off, you know, they're brilliant, they're fantastic. At a quality level, they're amazing. You know, at a thought level, they're amazing. You guys are, like, fantastic when it comes to your skill level. So I have to say that. Tell me this. So let's say if one of my listeners, you know, they want to, of course, you deserve it. Tell me this. So if one of, you know, my listeners, they want to kind of, you know, they're interested and they would want to kind of, you know, join hands the next time you are in the city, like, I would be interested, right? So how do we do that? How does one do that?
So we typically have a link on our Instagram page or on a Facebook page for people to sign up. They fill up a small form with their personal contact and other details, and then they get added to our mailing list. And every time we have an event, a public event or some sort of a thing which we are doing to engage more and more upcoming artists, we send out notifications, and depending on their availability, and they can, you know, join in. We have some who come more than once. There are others who come once for our events, and then they go on to do other things beyond that. And I can definitely send you a link separately if you want to let people know about it, or they can simply DM us on, you know, Instagram or Facebook, and we can share that information with them as well.
Right, and you do reply. I have to say that you do reply. And for the listeners, of course, you know, their Instagram handle link, of course, as always, will be there in the show notes. But in case you're still looking, it's Delhi Street Art. But yeah, you will have it. You can just always click it and reach out to them right away. Perfect. So, you know, let's probably take it towards closure, Yogesh. Brilliant conversation so far. There are a couple of things I would like to know while we go towards the closure of this conversation. I know you've had a lot of experience, right? 10 years of doing this across the country, like you said, in other places as well, right? Meeting different people, working with different people. And I know, you know, if I ask you, it'll probably be one of the most difficult questions that you have to answer, but any one experience that you had while doing these murals that you, you know, it really stayed with you and you can share it with us, like, you know, one experience that you had while doing any of these projects, which kind of, you know, you feel that, you know, it was just different altogether.
I mean, you did say it is a difficult question to answer.
Yes.
And I will pick one. I'm not sure if that is the only one. There'll probably be several others, but the one that comes to my mind right away is when we were working in one of the slum colonies in Delhi. And this had been going on for over a month, and we were slowly kind of, you know, going through parts of the slum and coming from one end to the other end, and people would constantly be coming up and saying, when are you going to paint in my house, or when are you going to paint on so and so. But in all that, while we were doing that, there was this woman who walked up one day and said, you know, my brother can draw really well, but he's very shy. Is there any way you can kind of, you know, involve him in this thing? And so, he was not a little kid. He was probably, I would say, late teens. So we literally had to, you know, pull him out of his shell and have him show us what he could do. And then he showed some sketches and all. And we said, okay, why don't you draw it here? And we'll help you draw it on the wall. And one or two of our artists came by. And then within 2 days, we had three other people like that come to us and say,
nice.
Just give me some paints. I want to go paint my house like you're painting these other homes. And it was just amazing to watch these people who, I think one of the inspirations, of course, was that they were getting free colors and brushes and everything else to paint. But the other one was that they all had this desire, but they probably had never had an opportunity to, you know, take that to any fruition, so to speak. And here, you know, this boy was loving it. For the next several days, he kind of painted with us, and other people came and took the colors and painted. Of course, the kids were heavily involved, but, you know, somewhere, I'm hoping, and we did keep in touch for some time, that, you know, he went on to potentially do some commission works on his own, and maybe take his interest hobby to either take it up to a professional level, or at least to a level where his you know, passion could be further
fulfilled,
stoked with the whole effort. So it's people experiences that one I think cherishes the most and remembers the most. And there are really so many amazing experiences along the way that you're right. It's not just one. There could be so many movies made out of just those little stories.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, Yogesh, and of course, brilliant story, of course. But you know, I'm also, you know, you were in corporate, so you would know. I would like to play the black hat over here. If I go back to Six Thinking Hats, right, by Edward de Bono, so black hat over here. And like, you know, this question comes from there. Like, is it always, you know, positive, beautiful stories, or are there also, you know, a few stories which kind of stand out in a not so good way? Like, you know, because I could imagine you were out there in the elements, you know. In an alien sort of a neighborhood, you're doing something. Anything that probably did not go in the right direction?
There are several things that don't go in the right direction, but you know, if one dwells on those for too long, then basically it's not really it's not really serving any purpose as such. So, yeah, I can remember many instances where somebody was. You know, we're cleaning up walls and we kind of removing posters and we're beautifying, and right about 5 feet away, someone comes and starts unzipping their pants, trying to take a whiz on the wall. And when you confront them, they like almost get aggressive and pick up a stone, like, you know, try and stop me kind of thing. So, but does one really sit back on that or just assume I'd rather look for a moment when I'm painting the pillar of a flyover and a city bus is taking a, you know, turn, and the driver literally, you know, turns at you, smiles and waves you a thumbs up. And
those sweet.
Moments are far more interesting and far more memorable than the negative ones. And along the way, you obviously have to deal with some downs, but I think largely, I would say people love being part of something creative, something colorful, and something, you know, where the community gets involved and it distracts them from whatever their daily issues and their lives might be, at least for a few hours, maybe a few days.
Okay. Oh, this is beautifully put, Yogesh. This was absolutely wonderfully put. Okay, so, you know, last two questions, Yogesh, and with that, we'll probably, you know, close off the conversation. But in the projects that you choose, again, just out of curiosity, is there a specific, let's say people come and commission you, like you said, like people as in, you know, government bodies and other agencies, NGOs. Is there a filter that you use, a Delhi street art is going to do this kind of project? Is there a category as such? Is there any sort of a filter you have, or is it like, yeah, you know, first come first serve sort of a thing?
There isn't any strict filter per se. We typically don't work in private residential spaces. That is one of the filters. Very rarely do we kind of go that way. Kind of, when you are dealing with I find when we're dealing with individuals in their own private space, their mm-hmm. expectations and can be very different. And again, it's in a very it's not to say that we have not done it. We've done it on a very selective basis, mm-hmm. but and usually it works out well. But it's seems more challenging to sometimes fulfill what their expectations are, desires are. It's just I would say call it segmentation more than anything else. I mean, we obviously can't cater to all the different verticals that present an opportunity. If given an opportunity, I'd rather go and work where we can have a larger impact, say in a school with children or in a community, while commercial projects are obviously helpful to support mm-hmm. our, you know, mm-hmm. social mm-hmm. impact projects. But we are selective in the ones, we are also selective a bit more where, we find that there are people who are, we worked with in the past and the paperwork involved is just too onerous, or getting paid might take too long or might be too tedious a process that we sometimes just give up on it. So those experiences kind of filter out certain kinds of people or projects that we won't take on.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So we can't. And now, like I mentioned, because there is so much more interest and awareness about street art, and this, mm-hmm. there is a lot more opportunities, and we can't cater to every one of them. There are a lot of other organizations that have mushroomed over the years, and there's some really good artists out there doing some amazing work. And I think it's a large spectrum, and people can take on what they like. We like to do what I mentioned before in the spaces where we go, and I think that's there's plenty out there for us to worry mm-hmm. about places we don't go to.
Perfect. All right. So, Yogesh, thank you so much for the conversation so far. This has been lovely. I loved hearing all your stories. I do realize you're a man of stories, because, of course, you've had so many experiences over the years. You did collect a lot of stories. So, you know, with this, we'll go to the last question that I generally ask my audience. Now, this is a set question, you know, I have always asked my audience. And the same goes to you. And, you know, I think this question, who will resonate with this question? That one person from Bitspilani, who was there when you went to ask about that Lodhi Garden conversation. Why do you do this, right? Why do you do this? Like, I understand when he said that, you know, why did you leave your job, from the West and come back here, and you said, okay, I want to paint walls and garbage cans. Why do you do this?
It's like someone asked Edmund Hillary, why do you climb mountains? Do you know the answer?
No, I don't know the answer.
Because they are there. another kind of flippant answer a lot of people give to that question is, well, someone's got to do it. It better be me. So, so I think somewhere in between there lies kind of my answer. There is, why do I do this, or why did I get into doing this? More like it is, part of the reason was to not. It was a way. It was a catharsis, cathartic way of dealing with the city and the country again after being away for a while, where either you come in typically as an NRI or someone who's been away for a while and start criticizing everything and start kind of looking at everything like things are dirty, things are so disorganized, and you know, there's crowds everywhere, there's pollution, there's noise. I mean, all kinds of things that are wrong. I could easily see myself falling into that similar kind of a trap while driving on the roads and finding the road rage and other aggression. And I said, if this is not the way, because this is definitely not the way to come back and try and be in a space, we've got to focus on something more positive, to be able to do something positive. And if not, then at least find positive things that keep you going or inspire you instead of just looking at everything that's not right. So I think that somewhere down there was, okay, what can I do positively to impact myself? And in turn, it turned out to be that I think it's had a tiny bit of positive impact on a few other people as well along this journey. And I think that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps this very interesting. No one day is same as another day. No day goes by without meeting and talking to people like you, interesting people from different backgrounds, from different, you know, walks of life. I mean, who else could ask for a better way to, you know,
anything different,
pursue your passion and find ways to actually make it exciting each and every morning, each and every day. So I think that's kind of what one loves to do and continues to drive you and to make, inspire you to, you know, it's not, there's no goal, there's no achievement, there's no peak like Edmund Hillary that I need to climb. But it's experiencing life in all its forms and all its realities every single day. That's what makes it interesting.
That's beautiful. They're just like, there's no goal. There are just empty walls that you have to paint on. I think it all just started off with your grandmother giving you those chalk back in the day. And, you know, that's just like set the wheels in motion, I would say, Yogesh. That's fantastic. You know, I think this was a lot like your Swadesh story. You were the Shah Rukh Khan in that Swadesh thing when he comes back and he's like, okay, water. I think that's a correct analogy over here. Till when are you booked? Because I think after listening to your whole story, Yogesh, I think you are a person or Delhi Street Art as a group is booked for a really long time ahead. So we, for the listeners, we are recording this, you know, at the end of towards the end of Jan. I'm guessing you guys will be listening it in another month or so. But Yogesh, till when are you booked currently?
We have projects lined up for the next few months right now. And then, but, you know, there are things that are planned well in advance, which, for example, we're doing something in February, which we've been working on for over a year. But then just today we found out we are now taking on another project, which is going to be keeping us busy for 3 months starting next week. So literally, it's always things overlapping. I wouldn't look at a calendar and say, so many days or so many weeks ahead, we do have enough to do, but things keep popping in, and then we sometimes have to find gaps and spaces to adjust a lot of new requests.
But is it a linear planning for you? Is it a linear planning for you, or is there a moment where, you know, Delhi Street Art is doing two projects at the same time in two different parts of the country?
I don't think that should work out. Been linear. It's We at the moment, while we speak, we have three different locations going on in and around Delhi, and I think that's been kind of the way things have been for some time, and it'll probably continue to be that way. We just have to manage the chaos and bring some semblance of order to the whole process.
That's brilliant. Sir, you have been able to, I think you have created yet another startup from a tech startup in the Silicon Valley. I think you started another startup over here. I'm glad you could actually scale things up. Like, it shows, you know, the kind of business acumen you have, not just the creative aspect of it, not just, like you said, the right brain part of it, but I think the business acumen as well to kind of scale it up at such a level and be able to impact multiple things and, you know, bring in the revenue to again put it back into the projects that you would actually like to do, you know, the personal projects like you mentioned. That's brilliant. I didn't imagine that, to be honest. It's quite surprising for me in a good way, of course. But congratulations to you. That's huge. That's brilliant.
Thank you. I like to call it my art up.
Art. Hey, nice. That's good one. Good one. Art up. That's quite clever. That's quite clever. Perfect. So Yogesh, thank you so much. This has actually been a lovely conversation. You know, ever since November last year, I have been meaning to, you know, I've been looking forward to speaking with you, and I'm so happy you could share so many stories. The next time, I promise you, the next time you're in Bangalore, please do let me know. I would be more than happy to, you know, spend an entire day painting with you and hear more stories in that process.
Yeah, if you're coming to Delhi, let me know and we will...
I will. Absolutely. I'm sure you'll have some of the other projects running in some corner of Delhi for me to go and, you know, pick up a brush and start doing something. So I really look forward to that. Thank you so much for your time. And I think if I do remember what you mentioned earlier, I think you have been sitting in your car all this while. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Why have you been doing this? So yeah, for the listeners, you know, he's been sitting in his car all this while for the last 2 hours almost. But why? Are you going somewhere?
I had come to a place where I wanted to try out the gym, and I was in there, and then I got the reminder from you that we had this thing, and it had popped up on my thing earlier. So I cut that short, and I said, okay, there's not enough time to drive back and be in a quiet space at home. So I'll just continue staying here, and I'm going to now go out to the car and, you know, find something to get a bite or something, and then head back home.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That was extremely kind of you. I don't think, you know, I've had people sit in different places in front of a river last season, but this is, I think, would be the first time where somebody has been doing this. But thank you so much. So please go and have something to eat. I'll just quickly close the conversation. All right. So thank you so much for your time, Yogesh. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so
Thanks
much for
a lot.
Time.
Lovely talking to you. And hopefully we'll catch up in
Same
person
here.
Soon.
I would love to. Thank you. Thank you so much, Yogesh.
Okay. Have a good night. Bye.
Perfect. You too. Bye-bye. All right. So that was a really good story, a really good storytelling sort of a conversation with Yogesh. Do remember to check out the work of, you know, Delhi Street Art. Of course, I told you the show link, the link would be there in the show notes below. And while you do that, if you get the chance, drop by my page as well. I'll see you in a bit with yet another guest on the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. And Instagram. Yeah, don't forget about that. Our page is called Paper Pencil Podcast. Cheers.